Okay, our reading today is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 53. And it's on page 1062. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Jo. If we've not met yet, like Johnny said, my name's Phil. I'm a student over at Oak Hill College, training for ministry in the Church of England. So if we've not met, hello, it's good to meet you. Do come and chat to me after the service, if you want to. You don't have to do that. But as we start, I wanted to ask you a question. Have you ever seen something unbelievable? Who's ever seen something unbelievable? Yeah, what unbelievable thing have you seen? You don't have to say it if you don't want to. Wow. There you go. So if you didn't hear that, someone died, and a musician at the time playing the favorite song of that person, just as they were on their way to church. Have you seen something unbelievable? No. Just want to come say hi. That's great. I did invite you to do that. Anyone else seen anything unbelievable? What? A car driving in water and the water went up to its windows. That's pretty unbelievable. Yeah. Scotland beat Wales in the rugby. That seems pretty believable to me. I don't know. Now let me ask you a question. With those unbelievable things that you may have seen, did you keep it a secret or did you tell people about it? Did you tell people about it? I bet you've not shut up about Scotland beating Wales in the rugby. Yeah. When we have something unbelievable that we see, we want to tell people about it. And in this book that we've been looking at of the Bible, in the book of Luke, we've been hearing about some of the things that Jesus said and did. And at the end of Luke, we have this unbelievable thing that we've just read. And what we've read about is last week, we heard Jesus was dead. He died on a cross. That's what we heard. And then this week, we hear what happens after that. And if we were listening to what Jay just read, we heard that Jesus was there. But that doesn't quite add up, does it? We know that dead people don't normally do much. That seems unbelievable. And so we come to what Jesus wants us to know out of that. Jesus wants us to be sure that this happened. Jesus wants to give us confidence. Jesus does this unbelievable thing, but he wants us to know it's real. Now, here's a question for you. How do you prove something's real? What could you do to prove something's real? Look at the person next to you. How do you know they're real? Ooh. I can see a lot of people poke. Maybe it's best to know the person next to you before you start. You don't have to. Maybe they're open to it. But a lot of poking, a lot of prodding, a lot of that kind of thing. Yeah, we can do that. Here's another one for you. Whatever you're sitting on right now, give it a little tap. Is it really there? How do you know? You can hear it. You can hear the knocking. Anything else? You can touch it. I can give you one that I can see without doing either of those things. I can see it. I can see those chairs. We have proof that those things are there. And the same is what Jesus does. He wants his friends to know he's really there with them. And he says these things. Did you hear what he said told them to do? He said, look at me. You can see me. He said, touch me. You can feel me. I saw a lot of poking going on. When we want to know that someone's real, we might poke them. We want to know something's real in a dream. We pinch ourselves. We want to feel things. That helps us know things are real. What else does he say? He speaks to them so they can hear. He asks them for something to eat so he can eat in their presence. Dead people don't need to eat, but alive people who are really there do. You see, we can trust these same proofs today. That was Jesus giving proof to his disciples that he was alive. And Luke wrote those things down so that we can have the same confidence today. Now, that's helpful. I don't know about you, but do you ever find believing things really hard when they're really amazing? It could be hard, can't it? Maybe you've never really believed in Jesus, and you're not sure about all this Bible stuff. Or maybe right now you're finding it particularly hard to believe. Sometimes adults find it really hard just to believe in moments, and then it comes back a bit later. This story is one of those ones that's really helpful when we are struggling to believe, because we can look at the proof that Jesus gave. A bit like a judge in a court looks at all the evidence and has to make up their mind. We can look at the proof Jesus gave. He was there, they saw him, they heard him, they touched him, he ate. What do we want to make of that proof? What would we want Jesus to do for us to believe he's there? Now, that being said, a lot of people then found it difficult to believe. Just a little bit before the passage we read, some people have seen Jesus alive, and they run and tell all of Jesus' friends. They say, we've seen Jesus. And do you know what Jesus' friends did? They didn't believe them. They said, that's nonsense. And then in the passage we've just had read, Jesus appears and stands with them and eats in their presence, and they did not believe it, verse 41, because of joy and amazement. They just did not believe what they were seeing. And yet at the end of the story, those people go out and they tell everyone that Jesus is alive. The proof that Jesus gave them was life-changing, and it can be life-changing for us as well. Jesus wants us to have life-changing proof. Not just that he's alive, not just that we can be happy because he's alive, but because he's made promises, and promises that he proves to be true. Now, if you imagine, Jesus made a few promises before he died. He said he was going to do certain things. I've got a to-do list of the things that Jesus said he was going to do, and that the Bible says the person who saves the world is going to do. It says the Messiah, the person who's going to save the world, is going to suffer, he's going to rise from the dead, and then the good news that everyone will be saved will be preached to everyone, to all nations. Now, in the story, what we know, did Jesus suffer? Yeah, he did. We can tick that one off. Tick-a-dee-dee. Did Jesus rise from the dead? He gave proof that he did, didn't he? So we can tick that one off. So we're seeing that God's promises are coming true. And God wants to involve us in that last promise, the promise where he shares the salvation of everyone to all people. That one, can we tick that one yet? Does every single person know about Jesus? Not yet. You might know people who don't know about Jesus. So that one we can leave unticked. There's still something to do. Jesus gives us confidence that he's alive, and he gives us good news to share. I don't know about you, but all of us in our lives at some point, we do things wrong, don't we? We tell God to shove off. We say, actually, you know what? I'm in charge. And we say, no, God, I'm not interested in you. Maybe you've heard that before. Shove off, God. I'm in charge. No to your rule. Spells out the word sin. Now, the sin Bible tells us is why we have death. Sin makes everything bad. Sin dirties everything. But what the repentance for the forgiveness of sins is, what Jesus tells us he came to be preached, what that means is, it's a bit like sin's just gone. All destroyed. Jesus gets rid of it, so we don't have to worry about it anymore. And if sin causes death, then we have got rid of the biggest problem of our lives, the cause of death. Jesus brings a way that we might know death is done. So that's the good news that Jesus wants us to preach. And that's what he tells his friends to do. He tells them, you're going to be witnesses, like we heard with those unbelievable things. The first thing people sometimes do is go and tell everyone what they've just seen. I've seen this unbelievable thing. Can I tell you about it? That's what Jesus tells his friends to do. And actually, does anyone remember, this was for the adults who were here, does anyone remember from Luke chapter 1 why Luke wrote the book? Does anyone remember? For certainty. Yeah, he says to his friend, I want you to know with certainty the things that have happened, the things that we've seen happen. He wants people to know the truth, to know the proof, and to pass it on. And in the Bible, if we kept reading, Luke tells us about all the things that Jesus' friends then do to tell people about Jesus. So, we've got our list. That one's still left unticked. It's a job still going on. But it wasn't just for Jesus' friends then. It's a job for us now, because it still needs ticking. If we're Jesus' friends today, we can still tell people that good news. We can still share with people that proof that Jesus brings salvation, that he brings an end to sin and death. It's a little bit like a doctor. Now, I've got a doctor with me here today. He's currently got a mouthful of food. Ezra, can I borrow you to be a doctor? He knows the importance of having a balanced diet as a doctor. He's a very good doctor. Once I had a temperature and he diagnosed me with a fire in the ear and promptly chopped off said ear. So, you know, you're in safe hands with Dr. Ezra. There's your medical kit. Now, Ezra, being the intelligent, clever doctor that he is, has come up with a cure for all medicines, isn't that right? Yeah. Can you show us that medicine? Have you got it with you? Do you want to hold it up nice and high? This medicine Ezra has made will cure all illnesses. That's pretty good, isn't it? Now, here's a question. What should Dr. Ezra do with this medicine? Should he keep it to himself? Why not? Because everyone needs it? Should he just give it to the people he likes most? No? Who should he give it to? Everyone. You think he should give it to everyone? Yeah, you agree? Good, okay. We think we should give it to everyone. Well, it can help everyone, can't it? If we had a medicine that could help everyone, you're right there, Bo? Yes, that's your mark. Stay on that. That's good. I like that. There's a cross on the floor there. In theatre, you'd have a mark. That's very good. If we had a medicine that could help everyone, we'd want to give it to everyone. And the same is true of sin. Sin affects everyone, and Jesus gives us the good news we need to defeat sin, because he has done that. So we can share that with everyone. Good. If it can help everyone, we're going to give it to everyone. Now, who thinks that sounds really easy? One person? Good. There we go, future Billy Graham in the works. Who thinks that sounds really hard? A few more people. Other people in the middle, not wanting to put their hands up. Maybe that's putting hands up is hard anyway. Yeah, it can be hard, can't it? Ezra, before you get on with your delivering your medicine to everyone, I've got a bag of things you need to take with you, because you can't just go on your own. So if you can just take that bag with you, that'd be really helpful. Just pick it up, Ezra. That'd be great. Come on, pick it up, Ezra. What's wrong? It's too heavy. Do you want to know what's in it? I've put the weight of the world in that bag. There you go. Little metaphor for you. Whoever feels like that when they're going to tell people about Jesus, that they've just carrying so much weight, that there's too much holding them back, that they just aren't able to do it. Ezra, did you feel too weak to lift the bag? Yeah. Who sometimes feel too weak to tell other people about Jesus? I know I felt that. Maybe that's just me. But sometimes it can be really, really hard. But we're not on our own. That's it. Stand there, Ezra, and I'll come back to you in a second. Because we can sometimes find that we're weighed down by things, we feel really weak, we find it really, really hard. Jesus promises us something. At the end of the passage we had there, he says, I'm going to send you what my Father promised. You're going to be clothed with power. Now that power is what we call the Holy Spirit. We get clothed with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm going to take that from you for a moment because we'll do some more doctoring in a second. We get clothed with power with the Holy Spirit. We can still ask for that power today. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't take away the things that make it hard. That's not what happens. And then suddenly we're free to do what we like. No, he says, here, let me take you and all your hardship and I can make you strong. It's not, the weakness hasn't gone away. We still carry that with us. But the Holy Spirit makes us strong despite that. Thank you very much, Ezra. You can go sit back down. You can leave your dog stuff there. So when we feel like we're weak witnesses, we can pray to the Holy Spirit and ask that he would make us strong to share with people. Maybe with that friend at work or at school, or a brother or a sister or a mother or a father or the stranger you chat to on the tube. I don't know, do people do that? Maybe that would be the unbelievable circumstance in the first place. But wherever we are, wherever we're finding it hard to tell people about Jesus, We can pray. We can ask the Holy Spirit to help us. If we believe this good news of Jesus, if we're confident that what he really said is true, and if we know that he gives the power to what we do, well, what can hold us back? We can pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to help us. We can pray for the Holy Spirit to give us opportunities to talk to the people we want to share with. We can pray that the Holy Spirit does the work in their lives, not us doing the work. We can pray for all these things, and then we can ask that God would bring forgiveness, repentance on for them, that they would repent, and that forgiveness of their sins would come through Jesus. Jesus' risen life gives us confidence that he is alive. It gives us good news to share, and it gives us joy as we do that. That's where the passage finished. That last little bit of the story there, we hear of the joy of the disciples. Now, that's a bit strange, because if you think at the beginning, they were really sad because Jesus was dead. They thought Jesus was gone, and they were sad. Then at the end of the story, Jesus is gone. And what do they feel? Are they sad? No, they're happy. They're really, really happy at the end of the story, even though Jesus is gone. Jesus gives us joy because we know that death is done. Jesus has won. That gives us great joy that we can praise him. Jesus' life gives us confidence that he is alive. It gives us good news to share because he's defeated sin and death. And it gives us joy to praise with. In a moment, we're going to do that with the last song. But before we do that, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Spirit and for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that Jesus has defeated sin and has defeated death. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit empowers us to share that good news and that you change people's lives by your Spirit. Please lay someone on our hearts to be praying for, to be sharing your good news with. In Jesus' name, amen.